Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner. On our way to our conversation, I want to remind you the Mark Steiner Show is sponsored in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late? Don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or 877-462-7555. Last night, there was a football game on television everywhere else. Out of New Orleans, it's something called the Super Bowl. Some team called the Baltimore Ravens won the game against another team called the 49ers. Well, in studio here, Jerry Bembry, who I've known for quite a while since being here on radio and every station I've been on, veteran sports journalist. He worked for the Baltimore Sun and ESPN. Now he's a professor here and media in, at Morgan State University. So Professor Bembry, good to have you with us.
Hey, good to be here.
We're also joined by Sarita Hubbard, who's joining us in the airport at New Orleans. She must have gone to that game. She's the NLFchick.com and GridironGals.com. Sarita, welcome back. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, guys. Thank you for having me, Mark.
I want you to know, Sarita, we changed the time of this conversation just for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
That is true. And Doug Colbert hung around for a while since he's a little bit of a sports fanatic, a good basketball player. Had no idea he knew anything about basketball. We'll find out. Hey, Doug, I mean, football. He's here, still here when he's not being a professor of law. So the game last night. Go ahead, Sarita.
It was great. I mean, you know, and I'm not even talking about necessarily the win because obviously, you know, that makes it even better. But just being in New Orleans and seeing how many people represented the Ravens, it was just amazing. And every time I turned around, I heard people say, oh, my God, I'm surprised by, you know, how many Ravens fans were there. But I'm not. I'm not surprised at all. I think that people fail to realize how well Ravens fans travel. And they're pretty organic. You don't know too many fans outside of the Baltimore area who are not raised, born and raised in Baltimore that are fans. So, you know, a lot of the people that I've come across that were there, you know, they're either from there or were born there and moved somewhere else but are fans. So it was just a great experience. I mean, you know, 49ers have 5 championships, so obviously you would think that they would have dominated, you know, down there. But it was definitely a sea of purple, so it was just a great experience.
It was an interesting game, Jerry Bembry. I mean, the Ravens really took off in the beginning. Clearly, the 49ers made a game of it. They almost won that game. I mean, there were almost every call for holding was not called in this game.
That's true. that's true.
Even the last one where San Francisco might have made a touchdown.
Yeah.
Might.
Yeah. Well, Crabtree, I don't think he was going to score a touchdown, but he was definitely held by Smith. And Crabtree was in the end zone. I think the ball was overthrown. He wasn't.
I think it probably was too. But,
mm-hmm. but on the punt, if you look at that replay on where the punter ran around the end zone for 8 seconds, there was a Baltimore Raven player who grabbed the guy waist and held him for a long time. And I'm watching it like they are not going to call this. I guess they're just going to let this play out.
But it was amazing to me how many of those calls they didn't make. I mean, I've always, for a long time, just felt that in some ways there are too many ridiculous rules of minutia in professional football today. And when they do, when there's real egregious things, they don't call them.
You know, I think a lot of officials say that they let players determine the last couple minutes of games. Mm-hmm. But you have to be consistent throughout a game, really. And I thought there were some calls that went against the Ravens early on, and I think they balanced themselves out later, you know, later in the game. And then by the final minutes, the Ravens were getting every call possible. But that wasn't the reason why they won the game. I think they were just the better team. They came out blazing in the first half, and the Niners were really slow. And the Niners, Colin Kaepernick is such a great quarterback.
He's amazing.
And, he's an incredible runner, and you really expected him to pick maybe – find a hole late in the game and run and score a touchdown. But the Ravens did a really solid job of defending him in the final minutes of the game.
But his inexperience showed, too, towards the end there. Because when you're down there on the 7-yard line, 6-yard line, you only have 10 games that you've played as a pro. He really did a poor job of managing time. His the play selection was frankly, it was repetitive. They have so many more weapons they could have gone to at that point. So, you know, there were places where I think the Ravens actually capitalized on the inexperience, even though he's an extremely talented player. I expected, I think most people, I had the score 37-36. I had the Ravens kicking a field goal on the last play of the game. Tucker was going to come in and kick a 48-yard field goal. We were going to win the game that way.
Sarita?
I want to go back to what they were speaking about, the referees, and I agree.
Yeah.
There needed to be some more consistency. You know, being there, we get to see the field a little bit more. So there were a lot of calls that were left on the field. You know, specifically regarding Torrey Smith, he was pretty much being, you know, pass interference all game. And if you watch his ESPN interview this morning, he even said himself, you know, half of his jersey was still in the stadium because he got pulled on so much. But, you know, I'm not against that as long as it's across the board, because if you're going to let them play, then they should all play, you know. And I think that's a good non-call, because just like someone in the studio said, I don't think he gets 2 feet in if he catches the ball anyway. So, you know, I understand why people were complaining. Ironically, the fans in the stadium weren't complaining. I don't recall it being a lot of boos. I don't recall Crabtree really complaining about it after the fact. So, you know, it's hindsight at this point, but I think that they could have been a little bit consistent. But I'm all about just letting these guys sweat. You know, if it's blatant, yes, give it a call. But, you know, that was really ticky-tacky, so I'm glad that it wasn't called.
Yeah, I don't think we want the game decided on fouls in any kind of sport at all. I mean, playing sports, we know we're going to get fouled. We know there's going to be lots of things not called. So as long as you're consistent and you're doing it both ways and you're not making the game hinge on a final call, because that would have been outrageous if they called mm-hmm. that last call.
When you saw what somebody wrote, it was a really interesting line they used. When you saw Kropnik run that into the end zone for the touchdown,
like a gazelle.
It was a 15-yard run. It's the longest touchdown run by a quarterback in Super Bowl history. And we remember the Green Bay game a couple of weeks ago where he ran for 187 yards.
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, the guy has a bullet arm. That comeback was a lot based on his arm, a lot based on Vernon Davis catching the ball. And he's going to be a solid quarterback. I think you're right that he's a young guy and he's got a lot to learn. But he showed a lot last night, even mm-hmm. in a losing cause, that he's going to be a special talent.
He's skilled.
And when he ran past the two aging Ravens, it was like seeing the future of what was going to happen to what was kind of leaving folks in the dust, because it was the aging Ravens kind of just couldn't keep up.
But somehow they stopped them, right?
Well, they did.
Like, who would have thought? I was at a house last night with 20 people, and they were whooping it up for the first half, and everybody was – it was like no – and I kept saying, this team did come back by 3 touchdowns against Atlanta. They can come back. So all of a sudden, when they got so close to the Ravens and it looked like they were about to score, the place became like a morgue. Nobody was even breathing in the house. I had to remind folks, we're going to win this game. Come on. And then they woke up again. But – you know, sometimes I think we take it so personally. It's like our team might lose, because the Ravens represent this community, and they're doing a fine job of bringing themselves to the community.
Sarita, go ahead.
I agree with that. I mean, you know, the team is the city, and the city is the team, you know. And you saw that when they won. You saw how, you know, I saw a shot of the city after they won. Bell's Point was just all over the place. Downtown in general was all over the place. So there's a strong connection between the team and the city. So, yeah, people take it personally. People love their Orioles and people love their Ravens. And you know, the Ravens have been consistently good, especially since Flacco has been the quarterback. So, you know, I think a lot of people realize that the Ravens don't win this game yesterday. We don't know when they come back, because there's a lot of question marks. Ray's leaving. We don't know if Ed's returning. And there's so many intangibles here that will play a significant role into next year that it seemed like it was a do or die. I felt like San Francisco had the better opportunity to come back next year, so we needed this win way more than they did. So that's why people weren't breathing, because it was like, you know, not only did they, you know, blow a huge lead, if, in fact, they lose this football game, what's going to happen from here? When are we going to be able to come back and do this? So I think that's what the issue was. But, you know, we just love this town, loves this team, and it's reciprocated. You know, they talked about Baltimore. They love it, and it's just no other way to be.
410-319-8888. I know you all listening out there. I know you watched this game. There's nobody in this town who didn't watch this game last night, I think, who was breathing last night.
They won't admit it if they did.
410-319-8888. Write to us here at steinershow@gmail.com. Your thoughts, .org.
You know, Jerry. I just want to say we spent a lot of time speaking about Colin Kaepernick, but what Joe Flacco did in this postseason was absolutely amazing. Yesterday he was 22 of 33, 287 yards. No interceptions. He went through the whole postseason, no interceptions at all. So before the season, people doubted Joe Flacco. Before the playoffs, people doubted Joe Flacco. Right now, there's no one in the NFL, no one in this country that can doubt what he does as a football player.
So let me ask you what you think this means for the coming years. The Ravens have an aging team in large part, and they got some new young people, but I mean, it's a relatively older team. And what it might mean for next year. I mean, you have this, you know, when they switched offensive coaches, it's interesting, Caldwell has not gotten a call from any NFL team, which is really odd.
That's another story. That's another show.
That's another show. That's another show. Why he hasn't gotten a call from anybody. But he, because clearly what I said to everybody when we were watching the game last night, the first, the beginning of the game, what the Ravens accomplished, I kept saying to everybody, that's the coach.
Exactly.
That's coaching.
Exactly.
Setting up those plays that way, knowing who was going to be where, at which moment, that's coaching.
You know, it was totally reverse of what they used to do when Cameron was in place, where they would run the ball in the first half and then try to throw it in the second half. And they were very aggressive at the start of this game. And, I mean, you know, it gave the offense confidence. It gave Flacco confidence on the biggest stage he ever played in. And, I mean, receivers like Anquan Boldin. I mean, you can't say enough about him and what he did during the postseason as well. Just quietly dominating games. You just put the ball in the neighborhood with him, and he's gonna bring it down.
But, Mark, the answer to your question, I think, is I'm sorry, did you?
I just want to quickly, I'm going to get to the phones here.
Okay. So Flacco's really got to restructure his contract so that we don't lose people like Daniel, like Ellaby and Kruger, because those guys were awesome yesterday.
Yes, they were.
Kruger's amazing.
He's a
beast.
But you see, and the folks who are earning the money, I mean, they are team people. So I expect that they will do something to get as many of the young people to come back.
Well, as I said to him, go to the phone tips. I said to you a few weeks back, Sarita, that the Ravens should make their first priority how they're going to keep Kruger on that team.
Yeah, and Kruger is a big play guy, but you know, I'm still stuck on LV.
Me too.
He's the top guy to be signed to me. You know, because
you did say that. Then you're sticking to your guns.
Yes, I am because you know, linebackers. Good, durable linebackers are hard to find. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying like a guy like Paul Kruger isn't hard to find, but you can probably get a guy in the draft that could do what Paul Kruger can do. And you know, I hate to say that because it's not that he's not important. I don't want to discredit what he's done. He had a big sack in the game yesterday.
Yes, he did.
But to me, Danelle Ellaby is the guy that you have to get re-signed because your linebacker core is very uncertain, and he's going to solidify that.
Let me go to the phones here, 410-319-8888. Tony, on your cell phone, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, Tony, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just had a question. First, I want to say, go Ravens.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Kaepernick, which he played an awesome game, but we can't forget about Flacco. I mean, Flacco set a record.
Oh, yeah, we talked about yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And I have a question I want to pose, because everybody that asked that question say they didn't pay attention to this. But when that power outage happened, when was Boomer Esiason? He was not up on that panel the whole time the power was
out. I know, he disappeared.
Those announcers were terrible yesterday, though. Phil Sims, I mean, he could hardly say anything that was relevant to the game that we were watching.
I don't know what happened to Boomer Esiason.
I don't know.
But it was interesting that the squad of men and women they had to be commentators didn't know what to say.
Yeah, they didn't. I mean, it's become the norm. It's more quantity instead of quality when you hire these announcers these days. And during that whole blackout period, they were just totally lost. I mean, the show is so scripted, and then you get to a situation where you have to speak for 30 minutes and don't know what's going on. It definitely showed that they couldn't follow.
It was funny because they weren't journalists,
right?
Because when what the other Harbaugh was yelling at this guy in a suit, they couldn't even figure out who the guy was.
Exactly.
you know?
And that's where your sideline reporter comes into play. He's right. Supposed to be the journalist.
Right, he's supposed to be the journalist.
But
supposed
there are no sideline. Were there sideline?
Solomon Wilcox was working the sideline last night. Right. Absolutely.
That's right. Okay.
410-319-8888. And Josh, were you on the air?
Yes, I would like to hear your take on when the lights went out, what did to the Ravens' momentum. I heard you comment how the quarterback went past them old Ravens, but I think we need to take our hat off to the Ravens for coming back and taking care of business.
Cyrita, why don't you jump in there first?
It would be... I don't know if you believe in conspiracy theories or not.
I don't.
Funny how that happened not too long after Jacoby scored that touchdown. And I think that when the lights went out, it was like 3rd and 13 or something like that. So there's a 34-minute period, and then all of a sudden the lights come back on, and then they start moving the ball. And then they scored, and then they kept scoring. And I worried about that when the lights went out. I kept saying, I hope I'm not wrong. I mean, I hope I'm wrong on this. But this is going to, this is giving them too much time. They're getting to think about it. And it's going to give them some momentum. And I was right. They did. They got the momentum that they were looking for. And, I agree with the caller. Even though they did get the momentum, the defense still held their head. They did give up a lot of yards. But, when it counted, that last drive, when it counted, they stood to the occasion. And I think that can't be ignored, And also... there was a critical that field goal that they got at the end of the game. That was a critical drive, and I think that solidified Flacco's MVP award. It was very well deserving because if they don't score in that drive, that's a ball game.
Sarita, I've agreed with everything you said up until the conspiracy part. So, okay, everything else is perfect, but the conspiracy thing. See, San Francisco was going to come back because they really are an excellent team, and they got the players. So. Whether the lights went out or not, the score was not going to be 35-6 at the end of that game. It was going to be a much closer game.
Yeah, it's a situation where everybody's affected by that. Everybody's affected. San Francisco had slight momentum at the end of the first half, and they were moving the ball at the end of the first half. So I don't think there's a conspiracy theory. And I think that what they did say was that some of the smoke from the halftime show set up some smoke alarms, and that's what threw the power. That's a story I heard this morning. So
and that could be it.
And the Beyonce factor, she was too hot out there.
Too hot.
Beyonce was on fire. I mean, we could do another segment on Beyonce, too.
I mean, that's what I think blew the lights out. No question in my mind. I mean, all women on stage, all women band. I mean, you couldn't handle it.
Let's get Serena in on this one.
But what was the question? I'm sorry.
We're talking about the Beyonce factor. And I'm going to admit, usually during halftime, I might go grab a beer or a soda, but I was glued to the TV set at halftime and enjoying every bit of the HD quality. It was fantastic.
What were you saying, Tyrina?
It was great. I mean, it was great. I mean, I've never seen Beyonce live. I've always heard great things about her, but I got a chance to be able to see it in the stadium. It was awesome. I'm not mad at any guy that didn't change to, the channel to anything or get a beer because that was well worth that. I think that was probably one of the best ones since Michael Jackson, and that was a long time ago. So, Beyonce really did a thing. Guys, girls, dogs, everybody loved the show.
And if she lip-synced it, I don't care about that.
I don't care if she did either.
I will tell you this. I went to her press conference. In New Orleans, I went to the press conference, and she made us stand up, and she sang the Star Spangled Banner live, and when she was done, she said to the audience, she said, "Do you have any questions now?" So, she made it a point to us that, she knows how to sing live.
Yes, she does. And I think that we nobody really knows really yet what happened with the lights, but I mean it could be what you were saying, about the smoke alarms, Jerry. It could have been the fact that New Orleans. This is what people in New Orleans experience every day since Katrina. Lights rolling dark.
Absolutely.
And going out. And the United States not investing in the infrastructure of America or helping to rebuild New Orleans. I mean piece of what we saw last night.
And give that city credit for a tremendous comeback,
yes.
too. I was there a couple of years ago, 5 years after Katrina, and I went to the lower Ninth Ward, and I couldn't believe that it looked like the storm had happened maybe a month before, and there was still devastation there. So for the way that city has come back, and the spirit of the people there is just so tremendous. And they, despite the power failure, they did a really good job at the Super Bowl.
It was interesting to watch Ray Lewis in this game. even though he, in many ways, he was the spirit behind this team, and clearly, I think part of the reason the Ravens won had to do with that spirit, people just gathering around and the momentum around Ray Lewis. But he didn't have a very good game last night.
They attacked him. They went right at Ray. And, I mean, he looked very vulnerable, and he looked like that he's stepping away from the game at the exact right time.
Exactly.
Because you hate to see your heroes kind of limp off into the sunset. And, I mean, Ray's leaving at the right time because he can't do the things he did that made him the best middle linebacker in NFL history.
I agree.
And Ray brings the intangibles. I mean, even when he has a bad game, he is there. He's present. He is somebody who is so for the team, for the community. And you know, I have to compare this with where Baltimore was, you know, when he had his legal difficulties 12, 13 years ago. Because I was doing a commentary on BAL television, you know, with Jane Miller. And people were not so sympathetic to Ray Lewis at that time. And they saw this man's redemption. They saw what he's been able to do since. And I think that same generosity of spirit is something that would do us well when other people get into trouble as well.
Yep.
I agree. So, again, we started to should we go to this caller? Is he ready? Is it the second line or the first line? Whoever's ready, line one, is it Mike? You're on the air.
Hello?
You're on the air, Mike.
Okay. I just turned my radio on, and I just happened to pick it up where your guest was talking about this game yesterday. I've been watching football for over 40 years, okay? I was watching that game in the first half, and then towards the second half when Jacoby Jones ran the kickoff back.
Yeah.
Without that power outage, there was no way the 49ers were going to come back. That power outage, I don't know. I'm not going to say they turned it off. I'm not going to say, I don't know about the conspiracies. I mean, it may or may not have been, but that game would have been about 44-10 if that power outage hadn't happened. And I know football better than anyone.
Better than anyone. I mean, you know, it's maybe Joe Montana's fingerprints on that power switch that went. I don't know. It happens. I mean, we never know how it's going to be played out. But the Baltimore Ravens fans should just be happy that they won the Super Bowl. You know, regardless of what happened.
Let's get a quick call in here. I mean, I have three or four minutes left. Art, you're on the air.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco was just tremendous throughout the playoffs.
Yep.
11 touchdowns, no interceptions. He tied Joe Montana's record of such speed. And also, I'm hearing through the websites that Flacco, if the Ravens couldn't sign Flacco, the trade will be worth a 1 and a 2. So his value went up. So the minimum of fee getting a franchise tag is $20 million. Basically, in English, he's going to have a signing bonus of $50 million. He done played himself to that level. And it's going to be hard to sign other folks unless they reconstruct their contracts. I'll let you go, but thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Art. So listen, we only have a couple minutes, but I think what he said is really important, because that's what I wanted to get to. So I read it, then we'll go right over here to Jerry. I mean, that this could change the nature of who signs what in the next season.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, I think he's going to get at least $40 million guaranteed. If they tag him, that's $20 million, which they really don't have that against the cap. So it makes more sense for them to go ahead and sign him now, get that rolling now. And I think that from Joe Flacco's perspective, you know, he's declined an extension in the off season because he wanted to play out his contract, because, you know, he went on the air and said, I don't think I'm one of the best. I think I'm the best. And that's exactly what he did. He showed up and he earned whatever it is that he's asking for at this point, unless it's the moon and the stars, which is a little bit too much. He's earned it. He's earned that right. And you know, good kudos for him for knowing his value, knowing his worth, and being confident in himself. When it came to it, he stepped up and he's earning a big paycheck regardless.
And Jerry, wrap it up for us in the last minute we have.
I mean, that's the problems you have when you're successful and it's a contract year. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, maybe Joe will take a little less and let them get other players. No, his stock is high. And you have to watch out for yourself. This is a sport that discards players a lot. And Joe's got to look out for himself, get the best deal possible. And, you know, for the other guys, it's no matter a way of just we're going to stay in Baltimore. You've won your ring now. And so you can go elsewhere and get paid now. So I don't fault anybody for doing that. I hope they keep it together, but it's going to be very difficult.
You got to wrap. You got 15 seconds. Final thought there.
My final thought is that I love the Ravens. I love the Orioles. We've had a great year because we've shown what can happen when people work together, when they do it together, when there's community, and we overcome all these differences.
Doug Hobart, stay for another half an hour here beyond this time, which is all right. Jerry Bembry, veteran sports journalist, ESPN, Baltimore Sun, now a professor here at Morgan State University. Thank you for stopping by, Jerry. Great
glad
to have you with
here.
Us. Glad you're here at Morgan as well. Sarita Hubbard, the NFLChick.com and GridironGals.com. Sarita, great to have you. We'll look forward to having you back in the studio.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you all. And we are going to switch gears and talk about President Barack Obama and immigration. And have an interesting variety of thoughts from our guests, so don't go away. We'll be right back.